I recently met Robbie from Visit Our Garden at Cultivate and knew almost immediately that this was a kindred spirit. This was a new plant friend. Not only does he have such a glorious, like, drool-worthy garden, but he's scrappy and he makes this like luxe garden look luxe, but on a budget. And I needed to know everything. But then I thought I'd invite him on the podcast when I needed to mine him for all of his budget-friendly gardening hacks so you can enjoy them too. And let me tell you, plant friends, after this conversation, I purchased one of the things that we discussed and I'm loving it. So without further ado, here are some budget-friendly gardening tips with Robbie.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hello, plant friends. I'm Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And I'm so excited that you're here. If you're new, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome home. Welcome back. What an honor to be part of your gardening journey. We have a great episode today talking about budget-friendly gardening things. Who doesn't love a deal? I'm a Marshalls gal. I'm a TJ Maxx gal. I'm a sales rack gal. So Robbie is such a kindred spirit. Before we dive in, I want to say a quick thanks to our new Patreon supporters, Kimmy G, Kathy VW, Dorothy P, Anna B, and Jane B. Oh my goodness, so many members. Thank you so much. Our member of Patreon supporters support the podcast to help me bring it to as many people as possible and support my team. And you get amazing perks. So there are different levels on Patreon that get you bonus content, exclusive merch, and even one-on-one plant coaching with me. So if you might be interested in supporting the show, you can go to patreon.com/growingjoy. Okay, Robbie from Visit Our Garden. He's the greatest. He is in California, so he's a hot climate gardener. And we were such fast friends. This was such a great conversation. I love thrifting. I love discount shopping. And Robbie is just a plant parent after my heart and had such great tips. I'm so excited to make the pot feet that he talks about in the episode, but I'm not going to spoil it. So without further ado, here's Robbie. I just realized, are we matching?
Yeah, we are.
We're matching. You know, it's so funny. I just interviewed your friend Janie.
Oh, did you?
Last week. And we were also matching. On today's interview, you and I are both wearing a gorgeous lime green. And last week on my interview with Janie, we were both wearing baby blue. How funny. Love it. Well, welcome, my lime green friend. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How have you been?
I'm good. I'm so excited to have met you at Cultivate recently. I feel like we're fast friends. We've also just discovered that we're both Aries. So there's definitely a reason why.
A strong connection.
Yes. Intensity sees intensity, which I love. For our listeners who might not follow your amazing YouTube account or socials, who are you and what do you do in the world of plants?
My name is Robbie and I am a YouTuber. My channel is called Visit Our Garden. And I garden currently on about 1/4 acre, and I just try to keep it super real. And I love talking dollars and making garden like more affordable to everyone.
Yeah, you have so many great, simple, easy ideas, because sometimes I feel like with cheap garden hacks, like affordable garden stuff, you need insane amounts of tools. You need like a lot of know-how. You need... Yeah. Almost like a wood shop in your garage to be able to do that. And that's really not attainable for a lot of people, particularly if you're a renter like me or just someone who is more interested in spending time in their garden and not their wood shop. So I'm so excited as we're moving, as I am a novice gardener starting to extend my roots into outdoor gardening.
I know you're about to be all outdoor gardening.
I'm about to be all outdoors, baby. So I'm excited to hear some of your more affordable tricks that you've done in your gorgeous garden. But before we dive into the tricks, like what has your relationship with plants looked like over your lifetime? Have you always been an incredible gardener? Is it something you came to later in life?
It is something that I came to later in life for sure. Both of my grandparents had huge gardens, but it was all veggie gardening. That's not something that I'm like super passionate about. I grow the occasional tomato and things like that, but I really love flowers. And when we had our first house a couple years ago, I think it was like 6 years ago at this point, it was a suburban lot. It was like all of your neighbors looked over into your fence. It was super close. And we redid the entire thing there. And it was a rental. And I knew I was going to like lose all of my money on it. And so I didn't want to be out thousands and thousands of dollars redoing this yard. And so I had to become super resourceful. I was also like, I think it was like 22 at the time. And, you know, like when you're 22, there's not a whole bunch of extra money. And so it was, how do I start things from seed? How do I propagate things? How do I find things like online to make things look really nice, but have it still be affordable? That's like my biggest thing is I want things to look nice, not just look like some cheap garden hack.
Yeah, no, totally. How do you have that like luxe vibe on a non-luxe budget? I'm so impressed at 22, you were even thinking about your garden. I feel like at 22, I was like, how can I afford food for myself? Like, how can I keep myself alive, let alone plants? That's rather impressive.
I had a really, really good job. I started when I was like 18. I was doing hair, and like 18 and 19 were rough.
Yeah. You were doing hair? You're a hairdresser by trade?
I'm a barber, so I do men's hair. I do not want to do women's hair.
Oh, okay. So barbers for men and hairdressers for women. I didn't realize that. Okay. So you're a barber. And are you still a barber or are you a full-time gardener now?
I would love to go full-time, but I think my clients would kill me. They've actually told me that they would start showing up to my house.
Yeah, fair.
I've had clients for like 10 years. And wow. Like to just drop them, they'd be like, really? You're gone? So I only do hair like 2.5 days a week.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Losing your hair, like my hairdresser. So I used to be in musical theater and the guy who used to cut my hair was the wig master for School of Rock on Broadway. And so I used to go in between shows backstage to the wig room and he would cut my hair in the wig room.
That's so cool though.
He cut my hair for so long. And then in the pandemic, when I moved to the woods, it was like kind of traumatic is being extremely dramatic, but there's a very emotional, intimate relationship with the person who does your hair. So I feel that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because there's a similarity between hair and gardening. It's very tactile work. So you've always been someone who wants to work with their hands.
Yes. Yeah. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I love that. What does your garden look like right now? And where are you gardening for those who don't know?
I am gardening in Northern California, zone 9A. And right now it is like, this is kind of our off season, which is so crazy. Like this is like go for everyone else.
Right. Cause it's so hot.
It's so hot. We had a week straight of like 113 degrees.
Oh my
God. So that is like throw up as much shade cloth, umbrellas, like just try to keep everything alive. And now we're starting to cool down. We're at like 103. And so that's like our cool down.
Oh wow. Balmy. Yeah. Breezy. Easy. Yeah.
And so everything is now starting to like pick back up and start blooming again. But it's like, this is getting into our like second growing season of the year. So we grow pretty much year round here. We get like one day, usually that might hit 32 degrees.
Insane. And how would you describe your garden aesthetic?
I want it to be like more of a formal cottage vibe. I want touches of formality, but also I want certain areas to be very free.
Okay. And what does like a touch of formality look like? As a novice gardener, I'm like, what does that even mean?
I try to be very select with certain plants, which we'll go over. That's kind of one of my things on my list. So it's like the way that you kind of place plants in your garden and how you use them in your garden. And then just kind of like the way that you elevate certain things. Like we have a fountain in our side yard and I wanted it to have like a touch of formality. So I didn't just do like a classic fountain that was going to be a little more like dated in probably 10 years or something modern. I chose something that had like a lion's head that had water coming out of the mouth of the lion's head into like a double basin. So I want like certain things need to be like formal touch.
Yeah, totally.
And then freeness.
And more timeless. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're a flower gardener. So what are your favorite flowers that you grow?
I mean, zinnias are easy. Tried and true. I failed this year on my zinnias. I only grew one variety and I should have grown more. I mean, they're ones that you just cut and come again. Last year, we did a cut flower garden. We took out all of our lawn and I grew thousands of cut flowers. It was so much fun.
Amazing.
I was taking, like, we didn't sell any of the flowers. I just gave everything away. And so I would take buckets, big 5-gallon buckets. I would take like 5 or 6 of them to a retirement home. And I would teach classes like how to arrange flowers with these like people that are in retirement homes. And we would do that once a week.
Robbie.
And then like all of my neighbors have fresh.
That's the sweetest thing I've ever heard. And then all your neighbors have the hookup.
Yeah. And all my neighbors had the hookup.
So if I'm in Florida in Tempe, can I have a cut flower garden?
Yeah. You'll probably deal with powdery mildew because it's so humid there. But give your plants, I think, a little more space and you'd probably be great.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. Okay, I digress. We're not talking about my cut flower garden in Florida. Reel it in. That could be for another episode. So I wanted to talk to you as a savvy girl who loves a deal, who loves a hack. I do feel like, and I inherited this trait from my mom, but I'm such a discount shopper with my clothes. And whenever anyone asks me where I got something, I'm like, oh my God, I got it for half off. Like, you got to go get it too, you know?
I love the same thing.
Yeah, I love a cheap, I love a discount, I love a savvy dupe, and you're the expert at that. So I'd love for you to walk us through a bunch of your favorite ways that you've elevated your garden, but in a really affordable way that are simple and doesn't require a task rabbit.
That's exactly it. Yeah. We don't need to be hiring people to do some of these tasks. It's like my number one thing that I love to do that makes a huge impact. And like, this is a super cheap project. It's like, so it's espalier. And you can espalier almost anything. There's 2 different forms that we have in our garden.
For those who might not know, like myself, what is espalier?
Espalier is the practice of training your plants in a way that they wouldn't normally grow, to grow like flat up against something. It's a very formal vibe in your garden.
When my husband and I went to Italy earlier this year, obviously I had to drag him to a really famous botanical garden that only has citrus. And they had a citrus plant espaliered flat up against a wall. It went all the way up. It was so stunning. And I know that's, I've seen this with a lot of like fruit trees and apple trees and stuff, right?
It's mostly fruit trees when you do like that type of work. So espalier is a fruit or ornamental shrub whose branches are trained to grow flat against a wall, supported on lattice or framework of stakes.
Cool. Okay.
So it's something that normally wouldn't grow the way that it's currently growing. And so we have, I mean, on our 1/4 acre, we have like 50 trees on our property, which is a ton of trees. And the way that we're doing that is a lot of them are espaliered. So we have 4 apple trees that have been trained to be espalier. So we've got 4 different varieties. They'll all produce fruit. Apples are super slow to producing fruit. They take years. And especially the way that I'm buying them, which is another hack, is to buy your trees bare root. You buy them very early in the spring or like super late in the winter, depending on where you're at. It's basically once these trees have gone dormant, the growers pull them out of the ground and they ship them to these growing facilities. And before they start to leaf out, these growing facilities will sell them to you and you get like, you can get an apple tree. I think we got ours for like $20 per tree.
And it comes bare root, so then you have to pot it up.
Mm-hmm. Which it actually is a lot healthier for the plant because then it wakes up in the native soil that you're planting it in versus waking up in a container where they had to do root pruning. So they have to cut off the roots to fit it in a container. And so you're getting this tree that's going to like explode in the springtime because you're not having to transplant it. And so you get these apple trees, or you can get anything really bare root. We got birch trees bare root and they're super cheap. You go in and you set up your grid. And you do spacing depending on what the wall is that you're growing it on. We're growing it on our fence. So we did 12 or 14 inch spacing, I believe. And you go in with some wire, which we get from Home Depot. It's like, it's called Ook wire. It's like $10 for the wire. They have single wire and then they have the 3 braided wire. Don't buy the single wire.
Okay.
We learned a lesson there. Buy the 3 braided wire. And the wire's $10. And then you buy eye screws for like $8. And then all you really need is a screwdriver to be able to twist the eye hooks in. The hardware that you need is like $18 to $20 in total. And the plants are like $20 per plant. So huge impact.
I love this idea. Well, just as I think about having citrus. So in my new home in Florida, we have this lanai. And it's a total blank space, which is going to be amazing. But you can see our neighbors from the lanai. So it could be cool to espalier citrus trees up the sides of the mesh or whatever it is. So you buy the wire and then how do you make the grid?
your grid is all going to be depending on the spacing, like how big of a wall you're using. So like you can't just get, I couldn't just give you like, okay, you're going to space everything 12 inches because there might be a huge gap at the very top, or there might not be like enough gap at the top or whatever. So you kind of need to figure out the spacing that you want everything, like how much space you have. Like, so our fences are 6 feet tall. I knew I wanted my first branch on our apple espalier to start at the, like, I think it's like the 3 foot section. So that meant I only had 3 feet to work with. And so I divided that into 12 inch sections, which is super close. Usually you want to go a little bit further than that, like 18 inches, but I wanted more. So I decided to go with four. So we did one right at 3 foot and then another 12 inches up and then another 12 inches up. And then I have one that's hanging up above our fence that I just am going to use wire and tie it up that way above our fence using some like stakes.
Whether you've got acres to grow in or just a balcony, Gardener Supply Company has you covered with everything you need to successfully indoor and outdoor garden. From containers to raised beds, seeds to plant supports, they have it all for you to create your dream oasis. They even sell edging and walkways. I don't know if you saw, but I did a full garden install with my sister, these gorgeous raised cedar beds, and those were from Gardeners. If you haven't heard of them, Gardener Supply Company is a gardening company run by gardeners. For over 40 years, they've been selling garden essentials and sharing helpful advice to make growing easier, more comfortable, and more fun for everyone. You can see their gorgeous products all over Instagram, and they have stuff at every price point for every gardener. They've also been earth-friendly from the beginning. Gardener Supply Company was one of the early providers of organic gardening supplies and humane pest control solutions. And they have always strived for a positive environmental impact through the products they sell, the advice that they give, and the causes that they champion. But don't just take it from me. I browse the gardeners.com website like I browse the Anthropologie website. I love just clicking through it and seeing what's available and giving me inspo for my future garden. Discover your garden favorites and exclusive innovations at gardeners.com/growingjoy and use code GROWINGJOY for free shipping. Let's grow together with Gardeners. That's gardeners.com/growingjoy. It is a really stressful time in life, plant friends. And I gotta tell you, I'm constantly surprised and delighted to report that one of the best things I've done for my mental health in the last couple of years is hang Wind River wind chimes around my house. The chimes are so soothing. They sing in the wind, and all day, whenever I hear them, they remind me to drop in for a mindful moment. And Wind River cares about your mental health, so they are using their paid ad break on Growing Joy with Plants today to gift you a moment of calm, a sound bath of sorts, with the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. So take a deep breath, exhale, and enjoy a moment of relaxation. Gift yourself and your loved ones with moments like this, plant friends, with moments of peace, moments of joy with the Wind River wind chime. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So you get a free way to personalize the wind chime with a name, an anniversary date, or a special message. It's so perfect for gifting season. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of the different melodious options. The one you're listening to is the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime, and use the code Growing Joy at checkout at windriverchimes.com for that free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's windriverchimes.com with code Growing Joy at checkout. Oh, so you're making the grid on the fence, like on the wall that you're espaliering the plant on. So you're not like assembling a grid separately and then putting it maybe, I'm almost thinking like a moth pole in a plant.
Like a moss pole.
Yeah. Okay. So you're making a grid with the wire and then you're putting the plant at the bottom of the grid and then you're slowly training the branches to grow in the grid. And what do you do with the branch that isn't, say the wall is east or west? What do you do with like the north facing branches? Do you cut them off or do you have to like reach them around, you know?
So, I mean, you're growing this plant flat. So there shouldn't be whatever wall you're growing it on, the plant is growing right up against that wall. So there shouldn't be anything like growing away from the wall. All of that, if it's growing like out from the wall or the fence or whatever, it needs to be cut off.
So you cut it off.
and you cut off the branches that are going up against the wall. So basically, there's only two sides of the plant that are growing out branches.
Yep.
Cool.
And you can do the same thing with vines also. We have our entire driveway lined with a jasmine, and it's an Arabian jasmine, and like you'll be able to grow it in your new zone, and it smells so good. It's a double blooming jasmine. And we have it in a like diamond pattern espalier. A lot of people, like, this is kind of like a conflicting thing. Like, a lot of people say like vines can't be espalier because they already want to like vine and grow that way. They want to grow flat. Personally, I don't care. We're getting too technical there. And so I grow a vine espaliered because I'm training it to grow in a very formal, like I'm growing it in a very giant diamond. So it's a 6 foot tall diamond that it grows in. And it's super gorgeous, adds huge like impact in the garden.
Will you send photos of your espaliered trees and jasmine that we can put in the show notes?
Definitely.
Okay, cool.
We also have videos on YouTube for all of these things too.
Amazing. So we'll link to those YouTube videos as well, because I think you're going to have a couple people Googling, you know, Robbie espalier. How do I do this? Yeah. And you said, so you had two different types. So were you saying the two different types are the tree one and then the vine one? I love that. I even love the idea of doing that indoors, like doing a cool vining pattern indoors could be kind of cool too.
You could do that with like a pothos or something like that. That would be really cool.
With a pothos. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I love that. All right. Well, we're off to the races. That was a really good, really good start. What's your next tip?
Super cheap too. The next one is using cement in the garden.
Yes. Talk me through this one.
Okay. So I love garden art. I don't love the price of garden art half the time. Sometimes it's so expensive. So there's this trend going on right now and it's a little more modern, which personally, I don't care. I don't care the style. I just have a vibe that I'm going for in my garden. But I want to add these into my garden. And so does my friend Janie, who was just on the podcast. They're these cement balls. And it sounds so weird, like you're adding cement balls into your garden. What are you talking about? But if you add like a mass of them, if you can add like 15 of them into your garden, into one bed, and you can do some like low growing, like ground cover or some grass, they just like make a huge impact. And so we've been experimenting with this with a lot of cement projects right now. So there's these cement balls, though, and we keep seeing them at every like garden center that we go to. And for like a very small one, I think it's like an 8-inch ball, it'll be $120. And I'm like, that is crazy. I'm like, I know it's just cement. Yeah, for cement. Well, I found a way to do it. Somebody who watches my channel, she emailed me and she's like, hey, I have a hack for you. Try this. Tried it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's perfect. So we got those glass orbs. They're like glass balls for your light fixture, you know, from Home Depot. And they're like, they look really like tacky. They're super dated now. And they come in like different textures and stuff like that. And they're super cheap. I think they're like $8 or $9. And so we take those and we fill those up with a bag of cement. And a bag of cement costs like $20 to get. You want to make sure you're getting cement, not concrete. I also learned that the hard way. Concrete has rock in it. Okay. So it gives it a really weird texture.
Okay.
Cement is super smooth. And so you fill it up with the cement, let it cure for a couple days. You break the glass off of it, wearing gloves and safety goggles, of course, because glass flies everywhere. And you get this like perfectly smooth glass ball for, I think it's like $13 when you're all said and done.
Wait, that's the savviest thing I've ever heard. You fill the light fixture up and then you use it as a mold and then you just break it.
And then you just break it. Yeah. And you can get them from like Home Depot or Habitat for Humanity, like all these places.
Probably you could thrift one, or I'm sure the discount section of Home Goods or like any of those stores. Wow. Oh my God.
Find a glass piece that's super cheap, fill it up with cement and break it. Garden art.
Garden art. But then you could even think about all the glass at the thrift store. That's $1. Like, you could go to the thrift store and get enormous vases that are different shapes.
When we were at Cultivate, I saw this one bed that had these cement mushrooms in it, and I was obsessed with it. So what I've decided is I found a glass vase and a glass bowl, and I'm going to fill the vase and the bowl with cement, and I'm going to turn it into mushrooms. And so this glass bowl was $3.99. This glass vase was $1.99, $5. With some cement.
I've seen this trend on TikTok with the mushrooms where they get the dome and then they take a large stick or like a wooden column and they stick it in, and then they have like the mushroom with the wooden, you know, stem, and then the cement. So chic, so cute. I love a shroomie. So I love a shroomie. I almost got shroomies on my nails the other day.
Did you? That'd be so cute with frogs.
Yeah, with frogs. I know. Speaking of frogs, is that your next tip?
Yeah, that's part of this one too.
Oh, great. Okay, perfect segue, because before we were going through Robbie's tips before, another beautiful similarity is our passion for frogs that we both have. So please share.
So the next thing that I really love, well, not the next thing in this category, is I love pot feet. It's like pot risers. And I love to do something that's a little different than just the basic terracotta ones. And so I found concrete molds. They're off of Amazon. I think it was like $14 to order this. And they have every different like style that you could ever imagine. I found one that was frogs. And so it's the cutest little like pot feet, and you're just going to fill it up with some cement, pop them out, and then you have $14 pot feet versus I found the same style. I found somebody had already like finished it, and they were selling them for like $45 for a set of three.
With pot feet, is it 2 feet per pot or is it 3 per pot?
3.
That's crazy. Yeah. So froggies. So I am moving this month, so I have little froggies on my manicure because now I get nail art like it's my new personality. So I love froggies. They're my good luck charm. So I'm like immediately going to order that Amazon thing. Do you have a video on the froggies?
I was going to say, I'll just have to make you some.
Yeah, you have to make me some. Do you have a video on the froggies?
It'll be out, like all the cement art is coming in. Yeah, it's all like, I'm doing one video, like showing you how to like use cement in the garden. And so it's going to be the mushrooms, the pot feet, the cement balls. And so I want to do like a series of how to do cement in the garden.
Yeah, I think that's so smart, especially too with stuff like trends. Like, yes, these cement balls are trending right now, but to spend $1,000 on a bunch of cement balls and then in a couple of years be like, actually, I'm over the cement balls.
They're not that cool.
That's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
That's a bummer.
Or you could spend, you know, $200 total and get as many as you want.
Exactly. As literally as many as you want. And then every time you have friends over and they're like, oh, those cement balls are so cool. You're like, I made those.
Mm-hmm. For $1,000.
Yeah, exactly. These are insanely expensive. I love that. I love the pot feet idea. And once again, I feel like you could apply pot feet to indoors as well. Why don't all of my houseplants have froggy pot feet? I don't know.
I don't know why they don't. They need to.
They should. They absolutely should. Can you make terracotta? Have you ever made anything out of terracotta?
I don't know.
I think you probably need a kiln.
That might be another good video.
That might be another good content idea for you. Go find it and then let me know. Because that could be cute too. Because the terracotta feet can be very cute. But I guess they're more fragile.
That's the thing is like all of our containers outdoors are terracotta. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to do these cement ones. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll try to paint them the terracotta color. But like it never fully looks right. But if I can get it close.
Yeah. Love this idea for us. Okay, cool. It's a future podcast episode. What else you got for me?
The next is painting your fence. And I don't know, it doesn't sound like it's that big of a hack, but so many people are so scared to paint their fence. We have our fence painted 2 different colors. It's our 6-foot tall fence. So it's the big perimeter fence. We have the front of it painted white. So when you walk up to our house, our fence is white. And then when you come into our backyard, it's painted all black. I spent like 2 years trying to convince my partner to let me paint the fence black.
Oh my gosh.
He was not going for it. He was like, this is ridiculous. That's crazy. You're going to kill all the plants. They're going to all burn. And that's an intense color. And we painted it black. And your plants, they take on a different color almost. They all just start glowing. Green just glows in the garden now.
Yeah. And wow.
It's super affordable to do. And it makes such a huge impact. So yeah, we use a paint sprayer. We get it off of Amazon. And it's currently on sale at the time of us filming this. It goes on sale probably 3 or 4 times a year. So I would wait till it's on sale. It's called Home Right, and it's like $79. We actually painted our entire house with this paint sprayer.
I was going to say, I'm like, once you buy a paint sprayer, you're painting more than your fence. You know, that's a really fun toy.
We paint everything. It's so fun.
That's a really fun toy.
It's normally $120. So, I mean, it's not super expensive. And we've had ours for, I think, 7 or 8 years now. So it lasts so long. And then the stain we use, it's by Behr. It's called the House and Fence Stain. and it's like $169. We bought it in the color slate. If you go and you get paint in the color slate, it's like a blue color. So this is like a stain and it's called slate and it's black. It's like a true black.
So you're staining the wood. So that's what you're putting in the paint sprayer?
That's what we're putting in the paint sprayer. Yeah.
And it's stained because it's a wood fence?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. But it's black. So it's even though it's a stain, it's turning the wood black.
It's like a mix between paint and stain. It's like a blend, they call it.
Okay.
So
got it.
It's like got some paint texture, but it also does stain the wood at the same time. So it makes such a huge impact. And it's one thing that like everyone that comes over, they notice it and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so stunning. And like one thing that people always ask you is like, how do your plants do with it? Because like, you know, we'll hit 115 degrees.
Right.
And like right up against black. Well, so far nothing has died and it has been about 2 years.
It's been 2 years. So that's the fence you're espalier-ing your plants up against, right?
Yep.
So your plants are like up against that black, but it's still fine.
Yeah.
Wow. The best investment you can really make in your garden is to invest in your soil, because the soil is where it all starts, right? The soil feeds the plants, it holds the plants into the ground. If you have happy soil, you're probably going to have happy plants, or you're setting yourself up for more success to have happy plants. And lucky for you, Espoma Organic has been making affordable organic indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet for years, for decades. If you're in-ground gardening and looking to add nutrient-rich compost to your beds, I love their land and sea compost. If you're growing in containers outdoors, they have this great raised bed mix that I recently put in my sister's raised cedar beds. It's been great. The plants have been so happy. You can also use their general potting mix in your containers. Whatever you're growing, you should be planting with their Biotone Starter Plus plant food. When you do, you sprinkle it in when you plant the plants up. And it helps plants establish faster, reduces transplant loss, and helps them grow deeper roots and bigger blooms. And if you're an indoor houseplant parent and you're looking just for like the most affordable way to get high quality mix, just plant all your houseplants in their potting mix, right? They have specific potting mixes for cactus, for orchids, for bonsai, but most of my plants are all just in their general potting mix. It's a nice, light, airy mix, organic, nutrient-rich. It's fabulous. My plants love it. In addition to all of their amazing products, Espoma Organic is also a fourth-generation, family-owned and operated company, and they have a great commitment to sustainability with 100% solar-powered manufacturing plant and bio-preferred packaging. What's not to love? Go to espoma.com to find the local garden center near you that they're distributed to. Or if you want to shop online, you can go to my Amazon storefront for a list of the curated Espoma products that I love and use in my plants. I've been using them for 8 years at this point, I think. So thank you so much, Espoma Organic. This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manucora Honey, also known as Honey with Superpowers, also known as my new hyperfixation, if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of months. I use it almost every morning to make my coffee so delicious. When I say honey, you might be picturing those bear-shaped bottles at the supermarket, but that's not what Manucora Honey is. Manucora Honey is single origin, rich, creamy. It's so delicious. It almost tastes like caramel. Plus, it has 3 times more antioxidants and prebiotics than that average honey or honey bear. Now, I love the jar and squeeze bottle. That's what I use every day. But I also love that they make these compostable honey sticks that are perfect for traveling. So if you're leaving for the weekend, you can still bring your honey and have delicious honey in your coffee on the go or however you choose to eat it. Try it for yourself, plant friends, and you'll get $25 off their starter kit since you're a listener of the podcast. So all you have to do is go to manucora.com/bloom. Manucora is spelled manucora.com/bloom, and you'll get $25 off your starter kit. I like to add it to my coffee in the morning. Manucora honey milk will literally taste like a dupe for that brown sugar shaken oat milk drink that we all know and love. And lately, I've also been known to take that squeeze bottle and just squeeze a little bit of it on a piece of cheese for a snack. Anyway, go try it for yourself. Manucora, manucora.com/bloom to get $25 off your starter kit. Why did you choose white for the front and black for the back?
Well, so we have a little picket fence in the front yard, and we had painted that white because I wanted that like classic white picket fence look. And then our driveway has a 6-foot fence through it too. And so I was like, well, I feel like it'd be weird to go like black against that. So we just did white. And for the longest time, it was a like 12-foot long fence that was just white. And the afternoon sun hits it and it blinds you. And then we put a espalier on it. And now it doesn't blind you because the plants take, they absorb some of that bright light. Mm-hmm.
So smart. Oh my gosh. I love that. Have you used the paint sprayer to paint stuff indoors as well?
We actually, when we first bought our house, we used it to paint the entire interior of our house.
You did? Okay. Cause I'm going to do a few walls in my house. So maybe I'll buy the paint sprayer just for that. And then I'll just have a paint sprayer ready to party.
I mean, we use it for everything. Right before this podcast that we're filming last night, I was out spraying a bench that we had bought.
Yeah.
So I use it for everything. We probably use it like 5 to 10 times a year.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I'm really getting into Facebook Marketplace as I'm starting to look. Obviously, we have an entire house we have to furnish. I feel like sometimes it's just a coat of paint that can really uplift something that might be a little bit tired.
Yeah. Well, that's actually the next thing that I was going to talk about was shopping smart.
Oh, perfect. Shopping smart. Tell me more.
We're doing this really great thing of like moving into the next category.
Yeah, perfect.
So the next category was shopping smart and being resourceful of where you're buying everything for your garden. My biggest thing is I love to use Facebook Marketplace. I actually just found this fountain that I'm still trying to convince my partner to go pick up. It's a massive, massive fountain, and it's only like 2 years old. These people are moving, and the people who bought their house don't want the fountain. They can't take the fountain with them. And originally, it's like a $1,500 fountain, and they're selling it for $200.
Oh my goodness gracious. And that's another thing. It's actually a luxe fountain. It's a $1,500 fountain, but then you get it for the amazing deal.
Yeah, they've only had it for like 2 years too.
How do you hook it up? If you were to buy a fountain, how do you hook it up?
I would just run an extension cord to it and then just do a new fountain pump or a pond pump.
Okay. Okay. Got it. I love that. We're doing a biophilic home, so all natural materials. So I've been looking at a lot of like rattan and wicker and wood. And in Florida, you know, Florida's like the land of rattan. So, but it can be really expensive.
Especially nowadays, things are just so expensive. And so to be able to find things on Marketplace is like a killer deal. There's people getting rid of things for free or for dirt cheap on there. I mean, you have to search and you have to put in the work to find it.
Yeah,
for sure.
You have to negotiate and DM and all that kind of stuff. Where else do you like to shop that isn't like, what in-store brick and mortars do you like to shop at?
I really love going to like Lowe's and searching their clearance racks. That is like, I think too many people sleep on that.
For plants?
For plants.
Okay, for plants. Yeah.
Yeah. We get a lot of plants from the clearance rack because it might be like end of the season and maybe they forgot to water it that day and it goes on sale 50% off. And you bring it home and all you have to do is water it. Or it might have like 4 or 5 burnt leaves on it. And you bring it home and pull those leaves off. Yeah. So the clearance rack, fabulous place. And then if you have like local garden centers, most of them do massive end of the season sales. Most of ours do like 50% off of almost every plant that they have.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you strategize for that where you go end of season and then you just kind of risk putting the plant in late season? I guess for you, it's not a big deal because you're...
For us, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the most part, I think no matter what zone you're in, if you're getting it late season and your ground is not frozen and still workable, these plants are going to do so much better in ground than they are in their nursery containers anyways.
Yeah.
So if your ground is still workable, I would get the plant in the ground.
Yeah, totally. Also with garden center clearances, a lot of time their hard goods go on sale as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of time, they're hard goods. They don't want to keep wintering them over or they don't want last seasons in their garden center. I actually just filmed when I was at Cultivate, I went down to this lady's house and we filmed and she got this stunning urn, like this cement urn. It was massive and a pedestal. And she's like, yeah, I got it half off because it was last seasons.
Crazy.
I was like, that's crazy. I was like, I'll take last seasons. I don't care.
Right. Especially when it's just like a cement urn, like something that really isn't trending. It's like a very basic staple.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting. Any other places you like? I mean, I love a thrift. I love a Salvation Army. I love a thrift shop. Mm-hmm, Goods.
The Goodwill, all those places. Yeah. I mean, I love to shop there. I mean, you don't find like big things there. And pretty much anything you're finding there is going to need work or you're going to need to be creative. Like we're doing with the cement things, like the mushrooms that I want to create. those glasses are all from the Goodwill. So I'm not going to go buy any of those brand new, especially if I have to break them. Or like, you might be able to find ones that you could slip the mold off of it. But I love going to like thrift stores. I do a lot of antique shopping too.
Me too. I'm a thrifty gal. I love a thrift store. But I guess I am thinking most of the stuff I've gotten from thrift stores are for my houseplants, because it's either smaller, like thrift stores are great places to find cloches, like glass cloches for houseplants, and, you know, like Edwardian cases or even pots. But I'm thinking they're more on the small side.
Finding outdoor stuff is a little bit harder and it takes work. But I mean, you can find things for your garden. Like, we use cloches for the vegetable garden usually, which I'm not doing a vegetable garden next year, so I'll use them for cut flowers. I'm turning my vegetable garden into a cut flower garden.
Good for you.
Right?
Follow your heart.
I have to. And so I go and I'll buy cloches, or I buy like really beautiful jars, and I use those as cloches to like protect the seeds from like snails and slugs and things like that.
Beautiful. I love that. Yeah. Any other shop smart tips?
I think that you can find a lot of like luxury dupes on Amazon for the garden. I actually have a garden bench. It's a teak garden bench, but it came and it was like the most like heinous orange color. It was stained and it was just like, it looked like a burnt orange. It was like 70s kitchen orange, you know, that orange color.
Yes, I do.
It wasn't great. So we painted it with our paint sprayer, and I had found the original that it was based off of, and it was like a $700 garden bench. And the garden bench that I found off of Amazon was $120, I think.
And what color did you paint it?
We painted it white. And then yesterday I just repainted it and we did more like a beige color.
Cute. And then did you put cushions or anything on top of it, or you're just keeping it?
We're keeping it just as is. It's a very ornate bench. And so I want the bench to really shine. So I get why it was a very expensive bench, the original. It's got some really cool, like the back of it is like a nice design. It has some rolled arms to it. It's not just like your like basic bench you find at like a park.
Beautiful. That's amazing. But once again, having the vision, like you have to have the vision, and then you can get crafty. And also, I think that's important that you painted it one color and you didn't like it, so you had to paint it another color. Like sometimes, you know, if you're going to go for the thrifty, if you're going to be savvy, it might take a couple of tries, but you're still going to save a bunch of money.
Might take a couple of tries. Or you might just have to ditch the entire project too.
Yeah.
We've had to do that a few times. I'm like, okay, that was not it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. What else?
I think the last thing is finding inspiration in the right places. And while I love to listen to podcasts, I love to watch YouTubers, I love to watch people on Instagram, I find myself comparing myself to a lot of people that way. And so I find a lot of inspiration from Pinterest.
I love Pinterest so much.
So much. It's so good. And I don't feel myself comparing myself to people over mm-hmm. there, because it's not like, I don't know, there's not people behind the little photos on Pinterest. You're just, I pull inspiration from it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, look at that fountain that someone has that they could fit 45 people in. How do I recreate that to fit my scale?
Totally. I mean, even yesterday, I've been living on Pinterest because I've lived in furnished homes for 4 years. So I would say I don't have an interior design style right now. Like I haven't nested since 2014, like it's been forever. So I'm like, what do I even want in my house?
Yeah.
And so I'm going with this biophilic design concept, but I've just been spending so much time on Pinterest, like putting in biophilic design, biophilic bedroom, biophilic living room, nature-inspired living room, nature-inspired bedroom. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is a great idea. This is a great idea. And they're ideas I would have never had. And I'm going to do them in a different way. But like, even just with my interior, my parents are giving us an old, gorgeous, dark wooden table for our dining room. And I've been like agonizing over what chairs to get. And I saw this picture on Pinterest of this mixed and matched rattan chair set. And it looked so cool and curated and like awesome. And I was like, I can do that so easily in Florida at the thrift shops. Like I can just go buy sets of two chairs.
I can't wait to see what you do in your new place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, I would have never thought that without Pinterest. And were those chairs on Pinterest probably $400 each? Yes, but I'm not going to do that. But it's more the visual inspo.
The inspo that you get from there is so amazing.
It really is. It's useful. And also, I mean, I can't even imagine with you having to watch another YouTube video, because then you're probably like looking at the edits, you're looking at the pop-ups, like you're, as a YouTuber, probably.
That's exactly it.
Evaluating, but also
it's
like
hard.
A YouTube video is 15 minutes to get one inspiration idea. You can spend 15 minutes on Pinterest and get 40 ideas. So also like,
that's exactly it too.
In terms of efficiency, I mean, there's tons of reasons to watch YouTube. You should absolutely go watch Robbie's, yeah, like every video. They're so amazing.
Don't watch mine, just look on Pinterest.
But for inspo, sometimes I do feel like Pinterest is just like super efficient.
That's where I pull so much inspiration from for a lot of my videos. And like I said, it's that way I don't feel like I have to compare myself to what everyone else is doing. I can just like, wow, look at that beautiful garden. I don't know whose garden it is. I don't have to be like, why don't I have that? I can just pull one little tidbit of something that inspires me from that garden.
Yeah, you don't have to go like follow the creator on Instagram, mm-hmm, and see that they have more Instagram followers than you, or that whole journey.
They're doing better. And the hard part with like social media too is like the comparison thing. You only see, you know, a little bit of somebody's life.
Yeah.
And you're only seeing what they're showing you, but you're following, you know, hundreds of people. So you're seeing hundreds of people show you these little teeny tiny good things. I have a hard time on social media. And so I love Pinterest. And I think too many people are sleeping on Pinterest. I don't think I follow anyone on Pinterest. I don't know how it works that well.
Yeah. Wouldn't even know how to.
I just save the pins.
Yeah.
That's it.
And like most of my boards are private unless I make them public. I do have a Pinterest account for my podcast, but yeah, I'm a consumer on Pinterest. I'm not a business person, yeah, on Pinterest.
No.
Even though I've heard it's very great for businesses, especially visual, but
I don't even want to get down that realm though, because I want it to be my safe space.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. And also like the Pinterest app, like I'm on the plane waiting to take off and I'm able to pin. Like it's super easy and fun. Yeah, I love it. Well, these have been so helpful. You are so awesome. I know you have lots of plans for your garden, you know, in the coming months. Where can everyone find you and follow you? You guys have to go watch all of Robbie's amazing videos.
So it's all on YouTube and on Instagram. Those are my two platforms that I do use. Of course, and then I just told people YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah.
But come follow me. Come hang out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Visit Our Garden on both platforms. And on Instagram, I try to keep it super light, super funny, with the occasional educational video or educational reel. But I try to keep everything over there really funny. And I just want to make people laugh over on Instagram. And then when we're on YouTube, I'm trying to keep it budget friendly. I will talk prices about the entire project that I do. That way people can get a realistic idea of, well, can I afford that? Can I not afford that? Can I DIY that myself?
Yeah. Budget friendly gardening ideas. I'm so excited to see what you end up doing with your garden in the next year. And also, I'm so thankful to have you as a new friend, to be able to text and be like, okay, I'm doing a cut flower garden. How do I do this in Florida? How do I do this in Tempe?
Right. I will be there to help you.
Okay. Everything has powdery mildew. What do I do?
Rip it all out. Say a prayer. Hopefully your season's coming to an end.
An alligator ate my vegetable garden. What do I do?
You're out of luck on that one. I don't have alligators here.
Oh my God. Well, this is so fun. Visit our garden. Go find Robbie. And I hope you come back on the show for future talks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Robbie. You got to go check him out. He's Visit Our Garden anywhere. So on his YouTube channel or his Instagram, he's so cute and funny. Him and his partner are so cute, but his garden is amazing. After this episode, I actually went in on his YouTube. I watched all of his espalier videos. I watched so many of his videos. He's a great educator. And I really like the style of his videos. It's like a very cozy watch if you're in bed with YouTube. So anyway, go follow him. I hope these gardening ideas were helpful. Let me know if you like this budget-friendly idea. I'll bring more guests on to do more budget-friendly inspiration. Thank you again to our most recent Patreon supporters. I would love it if you would consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can go learn about all of the amazing perks that you could get if you joined at patreon.com/growingjoy. I hope this episode was helpful because, plant friends, as always, I'm here to help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode.
We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks.
In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.